as a school board member. But let me give you a case in hand, again, of the kind of things that you all as incumbents have already faced or as potential new members may face. I had a discussion with a friend of mine, Ping Her, who is the owner of Taste of Asia and a leader in the Hmong community, last night. And he had hoped to be here, but was detained at the last minute here. But one of the situations he wanted to bring up as kind of a prototypical situation is that he has a son who is about to become school age. And I'm sorry, I don't know the exact details, but someone in the district is insisting that this young man has to go through the English as a Second Language program. And what he is trying to explain is, you don't understand. It's not that English, in addition to Hmong, and I believe it's French or another language, it's not that these are secondary languages that my son has learned. My son was trilingual from an early age and is very, very articulate in speaking in English, and this is just kind of a non-issue. And yet there's this resistance. So as a case in mind, and I'm sure, you know, Barbara can also come up with other instances where someone has been put in a box or is facing racial harassment or other types of discrimination. What do you see it as your role if someone brings a case like this, and how would you use the system to address those concerns? Let's start with Maya Cole from Seat 1.
Thanks, John. I think
2 minutes, please, on these. Thanks.
I think my role in general, the kind of leader I want to be on the school board, is generally more proactive. So I want to focus on that. I want to be the kind of school board member that goes out in the community and builds community. I have been involved with the Institutions for the Healing of Racism with Richard Davis, and he's a supporter of mine. And one thing I've learned from him is that this is not individual situations. This is pervasive, as Arlene had talked about, institutional racism. And it goes to sexism and all the other isms that we have in our society. It's something that you have to be willing to commit to for the long haul. And that's why I take Richard's classes, not just one session, but every session that I can. That said, I think that we have to...
In just a few seconds, if you could, and I'll stretch everybody else a little bit too here, but to answer that specific question again, do you see it as appropriate to your role, though, to advocate for an individual who faces racial harassment or some other form of something that needs a response, or is that someone else's role?
At this point in time, I don't know if we have anyone in place in the district that could do that, and I think that's something that we're missing. We need to have, I mean, we do have the gay, lesbian, bi, trans teacher. We do have interpreters, but we don't have someone that can, or a committee. I don't think it should be one person. It has to be a committee that gets together and looks at this, and at this point, I don't think we really have that.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. We'll go to about 2.5 minutes then for responses. Arlene Silvera?
Thank you. When my daughter Carly started Leopold, I told you earlier, she's Hispanic, so it took about 2 months before we could get anything home in the mail that was written in English. Put in the box. We checked the box, put in the box. I understand the frustration sometimes working our way through the school district, you know, based upon what you fill out in a form or what the assumptions are made about your family lifestyle and the like, and it's not okay. As a school board member, I would advocate for all children, but if someone came up to me with a specific issue or a specific problem or a specific example, then I would certainly look into it and find out how to best address that and take it through the appropriate channels. And I'm not exactly sure what they would be. It would be depending upon the situation, but find out what's going on and find out how to correct it. I think even more importantly as a school board member is to advocate for the community partnerships, the relationships that address the anti-harassment, the anti-bullying in the schools. Middle school parent, I get it. It's very important for all aspects of life. I think it's very important that we support the Bonnie Augusta position. We have a resource position advocating for our American Indian students. I think we have to expand their reach. We have to support the programs like the GLSEN program that wants to do the anti-harassment training in the schools. We have to support the programs like the Wickety program that wants to bring, more self-pride to some of these African-American students, the African-American Ethnic Academy that wants to teach kids how to think through issues like a scientist. I think there's that is a bigger role in advocating across the district for respect irrespective of who you are.
Okay. And Lucy Mathiak from C2.
Well, I think, again, I think I have a slightly different take on this, and it's quite simple. I think that we are in a period of transition socially, and I don't mean just the Madison School District. I mean as a society, where diversity is not something that happens outside of school or outside of our everyday practice. It has to be an inherent part of what happens every day in our schools. And that means we really need to change our culture as a school community. And that does not mean bringing in outside experts. The fact is that we didn't need John Singleton. There are parents and members of the community who could have told the district everything it needed to know about the treatment of students of color in the schools. They're often the last people who get listened to, if they're listened to at all. And I think that we have the tools and the expertise at our fingertips to really develop the systems, and it means making that a priority, not just with Performance and Achievement Committee, but with the school board. My issue with talking about live animals in the classroom is not that it was discussed, it's that if you weigh the amount of materials and time that have gone into that particular issue, which could have been a common sense solution, and the amount of time and materials that have come out related to minority student achievement and the comfort level of students in our schools, they don't match. We need to confront this issue. We need to take it on and wrestle with it and have some very uncomfortable conversations, whether it's the parents. Yes, and I apologize to my friends if I'm sort of telling your story on the air, but my friends whose child went to a special English class in kindergarten, and the mom was really excited because the child was precocious and could read, and it turned out that, well, the child is brown and her name is South Asian, and so they assumed that she couldn't speak English, and were sending her to ESL class. Or my friend who is now going to college but was told by her guidance counselor that you're not college material. We have to change how our schools and our school communities operate, and really the parents and the ESL teachers who are part of all of that need to be the leaders, because they're the ones that are in our front lines on it.
Okay, and Juan Jose Lopez, C2.
Thank you for the question, and let me tell you what we've done as a board and what I've done. And, again, I helped start Communities United, Lucha, La Soup, and I know MAFAC exists, but a lot of our parents are not involved in those groups, are not involved in our PTOs or PTSOs. Unfortunately, they're not. So what, I'll use the Leopold one, but I've been to Glendale, I've been to Franklin, I've been to all the elementary schools and met with the ESL parents. And Schwa and I have gone and met with the Southeast Asian parents and also with the Hispanic parents and Latino parents to make sure then we bring the staff from ESL and we bring administrators and say, look, these are the concerns that they're talking about. We write them down and we change that culture. Not at a performance and achievement meeting, not at a community meeting, but with the parents, whether it's at the school, at a community center, and address those issues. I do them at church. At Holy Redeemer, where I'm part of the church, the mass that I go to, it's 150% Latino. I mean, we don't have any white people or any black people going to that church when I go to service, and we meet with them individually and collectively, and I bring the administrators, and we bring the teachers and so forth. When parents also need an advocate, and I take that role as an advocate, not because I'm only a policy maker or a policy setter, but I also work with trying to make sure that the atmosphere, the environment is welcoming, and that they don't stereotype. When I got to the school district in 1994, let me tell you, that was a common practice. Has it improved? Yes, but it's not where it needs to be, because we still need to educate. We still need to desensitize people that otherwise say, oh, you look brown or you look Asian, so therefore your language is not what it's supposed to be. Peng and I have talked about this, and Schwa, who's a board member, has talked about this. But we've taken it a step further by meeting with parents, either at school or at community center or at church, and addressing those concerns. And then when we set policy as a board, we take those things into account, because we're asking parents that may not be associated with all the groups that are important to the community as well, but are not connected.
All right. Thank you. That was Juan and Jose Lopez.